This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So last week we had Bryce Sable, not just on the main episode of the PowerCast, but on After the PowerCast, the premium version for subscribers of the PowerCast Plus. So on the main show, of course, he talked about possible UFO disclosure or life after disclosure and got into a few other things. But the major topic on After the PowerCast was his book, Once There Was a Way, which is an alternative history on what would have happened if the Beatles had stayed together. So, Randall, what do you think about all this?
Well, I really like having Bryce on. He's really fun to have on and to listen to. He's very passionate about the subject. He's pretty well informed as well about it. So, you know, more so than your average person, I would think. And to just listen to you and he talk about ufology and the culture and how it relates to the entertainment industry was just fascinating. On that topic, I just noticed today, too, that we've got The Matrix 4 coming out in 2021. Now, I think we all thought maybe the trilogy was the end of it, but it looks like we've got another one coming.
Does the world need another sequel?
It depends on it, whether it can redeem itself from the two sequels from the first one. If it can, then, you know, I'm all for it, because the whole idea, of course, of The Matrix is that perhaps we're living in a simulated universe, and that's one of my favorites for explaining paranormal phenomena in general. So whether it happens to be true or not, it's just a really interesting subject, and something that is actually being taken seriously by philosophers and scientists alike these days as well.
Our guest is Rich Hoffman, and he's joined us. He's been following the UFO phenomenon for over five decades. Rich, do you ever speculate on things like that we're living possibly in a Matrix-style universe?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of us, like, want to stop and try to figure out, is there an answer for everything? And if you're following, you know, just how blasted large and complex the universe is, I mean, even though it's mostly space, but I mean, and you start to get into the quantum world, you start to, like, question a lot of different things, you know? I mean, you know, the whole notion of quantum entanglement and the fact that you have two particles that are talking to each other basically or doing something at a great distance, and you can affect them that way, like a spin might count. It's just phenomenal. I mean, what is that? How does that work? So there's a lot of interest in terms of speculating about, are we living in a matrix? Are we living in a simulated world? What are we living in? You know, what is life? So, yeah, we do a lot of that speculating, I guess.
One has to worry here, or at least consider, whether that is what's bringing us UFOs. It may not necessarily be ET, but some phenomenon generated by this force. Or maybe we can call them ultra-terrestrials, like John Keel did.
Yeah, I think Hynek mentioned that it was a space-time singularity. It seemed to exist in a given space for just that moment, and then it seemed like it would go away when it goes out of sight. We don't follow it like an aircraft taking off at one landing spot and then going across the sky and landing somewhere else. It just goes out of, like, existence or something like that. We just don't know where to go. And there's a lot of that kind of phenomena associated with this, where sometimes they appear to have some sort of solidity to them, and then other times they don't. I mean, they just literally vanish in front of your eyes or appear out of nowhere. So the other big question is, are we dealing with multiple sources or multiple hypotheses? And that's where it gets rather interesting.
Now, one thing that occurred to me as I was listening to you, Rich, is what if UFOs only appear when there's someone to see them?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, go take that one step further. I mean, you know, we know that observation of a particle of light, basically, you know, can either be a particle or a wave, right? And we're also noticing that the role of observing even quantum particles has an effect. And so observation seems to be one of those things where it alters things, if you would. And so there is some interest in that. And this, you know, I've always pondered this. How is it that you have these home abductions, if you would, and that's probably in a neighborhood. And how is it that nobody driving around's not seeing that? You know, I mean, wouldn't they see the object hanging above the house and then the person going through a window and that type thing and into a craft? And so you have to always question, is this, does observation come into play with this whole phenomenon? And how is it that you can have, I know I've investigated cases where I've had like maybe 30 people that were all watching the same thing. Of course, you know, you pull them into different rooms and then have them start to do drawings and what did you see? And you may get a lot of different things that are picked up by different individuals because they've observed different things or they can hear things differently or they can see things differently. But, you know, generally you might get the same thing. But at the same time, you might have a group of people who see an object and then another group of people that are nearby don't see it, you know. So what is that about? The Earthlight phenomena that I was investigating that was about an hour away from me, we questioned whether or not the light coming off of that object or those objects that are being seen are omnidirectional or whether they are unidirectional. In other words, you might have, like, we walk around a light bulb in the middle of a room and we can see it from all sides, right? Well, some of these Earth-like kind of phenomena, we've had planes going overhead that can't see them, and yet people on the ground on one side see it, and another group on another side don't see it. So there's interesting dynamics about that we're still studying.
Well, that seems to make perfect sense. Maybe what we should do, too, is while we're introducing you here, Rich, is that we should mention that you are an executive board member of the SCU, which stands for the Scientific Coalition for UAP Studies. Now, the SCU UAP means anomalous aerospace phenomena, and which is very similar to what NARCAP has, which is the same thing UAP, but they call it anomalous aerial phenomena. And it's my understanding that both of those terms were meant as a replacement for the term UFO because it accommodates a wider range of phenomena. So something that we would typically call a UFO, like an alien craft, falls in there along with a whole range of other possibilities. Do I have that more or less correct?
Yeah, very much so, because, you know, well, first off, I mean, not all these things are flying. they're also underwater, right? How do you deal with that? How do you deal with the fact that they're up in space? Or you don't see any propulsion system. So when we think of things flying, we think of maybe something that has a propulsion system that you can observe, like a, you know. And then you have, like I mentioned before, you have objects that seemingly can appear and disappear, and you have all this other kind of like unusual phenomena that's out there that are doing things. Are they solid? Are they not solid? Are they how are they manipulating space and time? And so the anomaly part of that, it broadens it, and that's a term that we looked at, especially when we were dealing with the Aguadilla case in Puerto Rico a number of years back, because we said, you know, well, wait a minute, here's an object that we see that goes in the water, it comes up, and it splits into two different objects, and how do you account for that?
Let's do our break here. We have Rich Hoffman joining us this week on the Paracast, and we're focusing here not just on the reality of UFOs, but what kind of reality it might represent. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this. But you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Mortgage rates have dropped 25%, the lowest mortgage rates in years. So maybe you should drop everything and call Zoom Refi. Refinance your home now and slash your mortgage payments. Take cash out and save maybe hundreds of dollars every month. Zoom Refi mortgage rates are super low. Zoom Refi closing costs are super low. And Zoom, we approve you right over the phone, even for no income check loans. Big drop in mortgage rates. Big opportunity for you to save money. Call Zoom Refi. Refi today. 888-291-9729. 888-291-9729. Save on mortgage payments. Save on closing costs. Call Zoom Refi. 888-291-9729. Advertising by marketing entity Zoom Refi. Zoom Refi is not a bank or financial company. Calls and other inquiries may be forwarded to third-party lenders who are solely responsible for reviewing, approving, and servicing any loan. Zoom Refi is not affiliated with any state or federal agency and does not provide mortgage advice or help. No income check loans are for investment properties only, and income must be sufficient to service debt.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We continue with Rich Hoffman talking about the reality behind UFOs. What if UFOs, even if they seem to be solid, are really just projections of some sort?
Then somebody's figured out how to do a hellacious job of affecting physical space as well, because you got to keep in mind that the objects are being tracked on radar. They're being picked up by multisensory objects. They leave ground effects. They leave all kinds of other impacts to people and everything else. So, you know, you think of a projection or a hologram, and it's not going to do anything to you. But yet, these things have a solidity or reality to them, I guess, when they want to. And so you have to consider those reports and include them in when you're also dealing with something that appears to be not solid and doesn't have that.
Of course, that raises also the question here is our participation in what we see, which some people refer to as a co-creation hypothesis, where whatever's there, we are altering it in a way that's more user-friendly.
Yeah, I know that I believe very strongly that we are co-creators. I mean, the consciousness movement and what little we understand and we're trying to grapple with in terms of consciousness and its role in just you and I having a conversation or, you know, the reality of this PC in front of me or, you know, whatever. There is an interplay there, as we pointed out, between just how we can affect even a particle. So there is that. I'm still struggle with, you know, the cases where you've got maybe multiple parties from different sides of a city, for example, that are seeing the same thing. Or take a look at the Phoenix Lights case, you know, or something like that, where you've got thousands of people seeing it. Are all of them consciously creating the same object? Did they communicate by some means with each other? Or how does that work? And we don't really understand that enough, I think, to know.
I like the approach that you're taking here, though, in that it sounds to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but your approach is attempting to be as scientific as possible. And therefore, I would think that you would be looking for something that is objectively real, as opposed to something that is a subjective thing created by the person's mind. In other words, if you've got physical trace evidence, if you've got actual craft of some kind, you're dealing with something that is independent of the witness. And the subjective part, the co-creation part, is just what the witness interprets it to be. So we might have one person that says, well, UFOs are transports from hell. And another person will say, well, no, they're some sort of interstellar craft.
Yeah, correct. Very, very much so. I mean, I can see something and you can see something and we can interpret it in our own way. And like, I can see it as a religious experience and you can see it as a demonic experience. I mean, I think we, that's what we as humans do, is we take in and we process it and we try to figure out what it means or what it's about. Yeah, science, I mean, tends to be more on the material or the physical or trying to understand what is going on from, you know, the world as we know it, if you would. And what we are trying to do is trying to really give it as much of that serious consideration as we possibly can from a scientific perspective. And try to follow the very principles of science, if you would. I mean, all the way down to if you're writing a peer-reviewed paper and making sure we can get that in the mainstream science. And we're even going to the point of creating our own peer review process as well as putting our own journal in place. So now what we'll be able to do is to give access to serious scientists to get something published where they were normally in the past, these things get rejected. I mean, you try to get yourself into a scientific journal on UFOs and the subject, and they just completely dismiss it, and they won't publish it. So we want them to be published, and we want them to get scientists to communicate with each other and collaborate. So that's what we're doing. And right now, I mean, SCU has got well in excess of 70 people. That, I mean, like 24 maybe or something like that are PhDs in different kinds of fields, everywhere from psychology to material science to chemistry to everything else. And these are people who are open enough and willing to engage this thing from their unique perspectives. And we're starting to see that we're getting more and more of these people wanting to do this because they're willing to associate with a group that's going to treat it scientifically. And so there's right now a groundswell, and I think that the whole announcement with the Pentagon and that whole thing with the Nimitz case and stuff like that, it helps to give it a little bit of credibility for a lot of the people who might have been in the invisible college, if you would, to actually come out now. And so I'm excited because I think in my 55 years with this whole subject, I've not seen an adequate study by scientists. Yeah, we've had other kinds of reviews that have been done, and they'll look at the evidence. But, I mean, you didn't have a whole collective group of people necessarily like looking at it over a period of time. And the thing that's encouraging, I think, right now is the fact that our science has advanced, even from back in those days, like in Blue Book or various other things. And we've got way better data, which scientists absolutely love. I mean, we're starting to see these, like, thermal imaging from military-grade equipment kinds of videos. And so it's very exciting right now.
What do you think about the people who have believed, and this goes back to the 50s, that there's a silence group or some agency within the U.S. government, we can call it MJ-12, but that's highly disputable, that knows a secret or enough of a secret to keep it away from the public, and that secret being that we're being visited by ET, and therefore there's expectations of disclosure. But after, what, 65, 70 years, it never seems to happen.
Well, I do believe that the subject, as we've even seen with the recent announcements, are that if these studies and things are done in the national security climate, that, you know, there are ground rules that you play in on that and that you don't discuss things that are considered to be classified. And I'll be honest with you, I think if you start to look at the potential that these aircraft or these objects are having in our airspace and with interactions with our military equipment in a day-to-day where, you know, you have other players and parties around the planet. We're describing now as threats, even though, you know, in the past we wouldn't even think that, you know, we would not be calling them threats. They've been around for a long time. They haven't done anything to us, right? But in the context that we don't understand it, now you've got these studies going on, and it falls. It's always falling in the military world, and then the military world. And I work in the military world. I work with the Army.
Let's cover more of this, Rich, in our next segment with Gene and Randall. And Rich, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts, Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Nevada Democrats are weighing in on their party's presidential nomination contest. 4 years ago in Nevada, Bernie Sanders lost a close race to Hillary Clinton. Precincts are now reporting a big win for him, with former Vice President Joe Biden coming in second and former Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg coming in third. Senator Elizabeth Warren is close behind, and Senator Amy Klobuchar is trailing.
Bernie Sanders didn't stay in Nevada to celebrate the results. He went straight to Texas for a campaign rally.
Let me tell you, on day one and henceforth, we are going to end the demonization of the undocumented in this country.
Sanders told reporters in El Paso, President Trump is a pathological liar running a corrupt administration. This is USA Radio News.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS and you cannot afford to make payments to the IRS, you may qualify for the CNC tax program. This is a new program, and if you qualify, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Once you're accepted into this program, the IRS is forced to stop all harassing collection activities. No threatening phone calls, no wage garnishments, no bank levies, and no more monthly payments to the IRS. Get ready to write this number down. It's the most important number you'll ever need to end your IRS tax nightmare. Call Paramount Tax Relief at 800-547-4804 for a free confidential consultation to find out if you qualify for the CNC tax program. Once you are accepted into the CNC tax program, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Call Paramount Tax Relief now at 800-547-4804. That's 800-547-4804. Again, 800-547-4804.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
What you're basically saying, and you can expand on it, Rich Hoffman, is that the government doesn't know the answer to this.
That's right. They don't, and I really don't. And I think that they attempt to collect any and all information that they can get related to this, and they've already done that. I mean, you know, if you look at the case with the JAL aircraft in Alaska back many decades ago and stuff like that, you had John Callahan was talking about the fact that some CIA group or something like that was in the room, immediately classified everything and absconded the evidence. We've had repeated experiences with that, and we've seen that over a period of time. So there is some sort of degree of control, if you would, of this, and they do it within the context of largely the military or the government circles where they'll go and collect government information, and that there is some group that is doing that. I really think that that's legit, and that there is a control mechanism to keep it under lock and key. And the big question becomes one of what's the motive behind that? Is the motive that you want to find out what the answer is? And wouldn't that be the same for the Russians and the Chinese and anybody else that has anything? Sure, it would. Would they necessarily go and announce the fact that they have that interest in doing it? Probably not, because they want to get the answer to it, or they want to solve it, and they want to use it as a military whatever weapon, if you would, or some means of constructing one or figuring out how they fly. And that's what the military does, and that's its role. It's to defend the country. So I think that you're going to see that's the motive behind it. And what we're trying to say is, well, wait a minute, you know, you might, if you want to really study this, and you want to continue to do the studies within the military context, and you have a lot of scientists and things there,
there are a lot of scientists outside of military, and if you were willing to share some of the data, we could help take up some of the load and do some of the analysis. That's where we're hoping to go. I noticed that TTSA, to the STARS Academy, has, you know, they managed to get what they call a CRADA, which is an agreement, a support agreement between them and the Army, to be able to use labs, to be able to do some analysis of materials. And that's a great partnership between the two organizations. And universities do that all the time. We have a local university here in Huntsville that has a CRADA with the Department of the Army, where I work, and some of the other organizations over here at Redstone and in Huntsville, Alabama. And so we're, you know, open to that as well.
I think that's a really responsible way to go about it, because if people who are doing this sort of research take upon it themselves to do the analysis, then you're going to get these questions about bias on the inside. Whereas if you contract it out to someone at arm's length from your organization, then you don't have to worry nearly as much about that sort of thing.
Correct. Yeah, very much so. You know, we're all trying to figure out what the right thing is. And I think that the right, in my view of the world, if you would, I mean, I started off right in Dayton, Ohio, where Project Blue Book was going on, and actually met some of the Blue Book personnel when I was growing up. And I now find myself working in the military, but at the same time, I'm a ufologist that's working in the military. And it's like one of those kind of like really wild things where I still very much want to see science tackle this subject. And so we're excited. I mean, we're starting to see that we can get that, and that SCU is willing to tackle this, and even TTSA wants to work with us. And so we're excited.
So although you're under the sort of the broader banner of UAP, aerial or aerospace phenomena, but it sounds like your core interest is still in the subset there that we would call UFOs or alien craft. So I think that's obviously probably where the focus should be. What about the other sorts of phenomena? Do you get into looking at, say, something like, you know, maybe sprites in the upper atmosphere, or like you mentioned earlier, earth lights, other natural types of phenomena?
Yeah, and that's where I'm at with the earth light phenomena. I think that that's some sort of an unknown natural phenomena that's in our atmosphere. And I don't know what's causing it, and a lot of other people don't. I believe that there are a lot of these types of phenomena that we see. And I think, you know, the reason why we see that there's a, you know, an interest in this is, number one, a lot of these things get reported as UFOs. And so it is part of the UFO phenomena in the sense that it's being reported and misidentified. And wouldn't it be good if we can figure out what that phenomena is so that we can now take away that as being the cause of what the real phenomena might be? You know, you get what I'm saying, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you're using a process of elimination to get at the truth about the core subject matter, which is really classic ufology.
Yeah.
And it's really actually really good to hear that you refer to yourself as a ufologist in the community, because I think for too long we've been somewhat compromised by attitudes and social, cultural stereotypes that way. So it's, you know, thanks for saying that. I'm unashamedly admitting that I consider myself to be a ufologist, and maybe not quite as active as some, including yourself, but I am a believer in alien craft, alien visitation. I unashamedly admit that too, same as Stanton Friedman would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's been interesting to watch, as, you know, the fact that you have these announcements being made about, you know, the fact that the military is now engaged and they're wanting to use the term UAP. But they're also being very cautious to not pronounce that it's ET, if you would, or it's, you know, alien craft, if you would. It's because, you know, and I guess where it comes back, I know that you go with the alien craft. I go back with the fact that I don't know that I can call it that, primarily because there's so many blasted hypotheses associated with the subject that I can't eliminate all of them or many of them. And so, like, a good example would be, even the Earth lights are natural phenomena. They get reported as UFOs. But, I mean, when I say alien, I mean, I go back to the question about whether or not they've been here all along throughout our entire history, and maybe in an effect that they have been helping to do genetic manipulation to be able to create us. There's also the speculation that they have been on the planet all along and been based in the water, underwater, and are objects that just pop up and out of water whenever they want. So would you classify them as ET? And again, if they were here before us, are they extraterrestrial craft that are flying? So there's a lot of that that's going on. And the other part of it is that I do also believe that some of the objects that might be seen are development projects or efforts by maybe an organization here on Earth. I don't eliminate that. So,
go ahead. Yeah, sure. On the subject of alien, that's I think that covers a lot of it. I look at the term alien similar to what biologists are, the way that biologists do, where you have something that is found within an environment that it is not native to itself. So, in this case, it may be that it's something interstellar. It may be that it is something from under the oceans. But whatever it is, it's from outside our collective civilization, the boundaries and constructs that we normally consider to be our civilization.
Let's do our break here, yeah. Randall. And we're not going to suggest that the UFOs are sent here by Aquaman from under the sea. Rich Hoffman, yeah. Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
This is George Dory from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNlife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNlife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
I guess I was obviously joking about Aquaman, but could there be some underground, under-earth civilization that's sending these UFOs? We can always assume they're using that as a colony and they came from elsewhere, but what do you think?
There are creatures in the ocean that are pretty doggone weird, let me tell you. And you know, it doesn't take much to look at them and say that looks pretty alien to me. You know, I mean, and so if you think about the length of time that this planet's been around and the number of extinctions that have happened on it and various other things, how do we know that there hasn't been a life form that's been here in a previous time before the last extinction, if you would? How do we know? Do we really know that they might be closer to being on Earth than we know? The other aspect of this, which then starts to get into, you know, you talked about speculating things earlier. I go back to the fact that, you know, and there are some like Michael Masters and some other people that tend to want to believe that these beings are basically us from the future, and that these are time machines, if you would, that somehow can manipulate time and space, if you would, and they're actually us from the future. When you think about that, okay, well, that's pretty an interesting thing, since, you know, a lot of the beings seem to have two eyes and maybe indications of ears and seem to have something that looks like a mouth, maybe, and two arms and two legs. And so that same symmetry that we see in ourselves and in a lot of other things seems to be inherent in them as well.
I mean,
why would you have a life form on another planet necessarily evolve in the same way?
And we see like reports of actual humanoids, you know, the blonde Nordics. I mean, in every aspect, identical to human beings. I can see other planets evolving similar life forms because of the way that life seems to need to work in terms of having, if it's going to have a brain, then it's going to have its sensory apparatus fairly close to that, which means it's going to have some kind of a head. If it needs stereoscopic vision, it'll probably have two eyes. Same goes for the ears. So there's a certain sort of natural logic to the way that an intelligent creature might evolve. But to look exactly like us, I mean, you go back to talking about maybe we're some sort of a genetic experiment, and as far out as that sounds, I don't think we can take that one off the books.
Yeah, we don't, and that's why it's still on the books. And so the problem we have is we have all these, again, these different hypotheses that are out there, and until you get evidence, you know, for or against, if you would, you keep them on the books because they might be real. In fact, we might be dealing with a number of these competing hypotheses, you know. Maybe we are the Florida or the place where everybody goes on vacation, and this is the place to pop in. But, I mean, I don't know. And because we don't know, it's like one of those things where that's why we study them, to try to figure out what we can and to see if they're – and now with the things like the infrared cameras – and if we added more capabilities to see different parts of the electromagnetic spectrum in the way of tools, we might even learn a bit more about these objects than just the blurry the visible range, if you would, the blurred photos and everything else. We're excited about the fact that we're seeing a thermal signature of these objects that don't appear to have any impact of being in our atmosphere.
Well, something that's interesting, like what Gene had mentioned earlier about them being some sort of a projection, we had not long ago Gary Voorhees on, who is a tech during the Nimitz incident. And we've also talked to Kevin Randall, which, of course, you know, he was a military helicopter pilot. So we're talking about military people. And one of the things that I brought up to both of them is the idea that this whole tic-tac incident thing could have been some sort of advanced countermeasures test, because radar can be spoofed. You can find documentation on the whole thing, so it doesn't necessarily have to be a material object out there in order to fool the radar into thinking there's material objects out there. And then you've got the whole Starfire optical range that's been going on since back in the Star Wars days, where there were pictures that people took of these glowing plasma balls back then that were produced by these particle beam devices that they have. So who knows where they've gone since then? Then, if you combine all that together with some sort of holography, then you're going to get a thermal signature, and a lot of it adds up to be very, very similar. So, for example, the lack of radar locks by aircraft, the lack of actual radar detection at all by aircraft when the objects were being detected by the radars on board the ships. So it kind of could explain quite a few things. As well as, if it's some sort of super secret countermeasures test, maybe not everybody was supposed to know about it. And the Navy is really known for doing stuff like that. They did that with the Skyhook balloon, you know, back in the 60s, and it was reported as a UFO, and they just let people believe that.
Yeah, well, we published a 270-page paper and spent a couple years, and we investigated and we talked with Gary and everybody involved in the Nimitz case. So I think we did about 18 interviews. So we're talking with pilots, we're talking with the people in the command center. We talked with a number of other people. And in our paper, we also did the calculations in terms of the drop, the speed that it was going, the impacts in terms of the object, in terms of kinetic energy that would have been released by the drop, and
yeah, I actually read that paper. That's a good one. It's on your site, and the whole thing there is, it assumes that you're dealing with a material craft. If it is some sort of a projection, like maybe as Gene suggested at the beginning, then you're going to be able to eliminate a lot of that, a lot of the questions that are raised by that, because you're not dealing with the same kind of inertia. You're just focusing beams in different directions. So, yeah. I mean, you know, I was surprised to see that wasn't taken into consideration as a possibility, when even Voorhees and Kevin D. Randall, they both admitted it could be something like that, but we just don't know.
Yeah, well, I think that you have a lot of different sensory kinds of data that are picking it up. And I'm not just talking about the fact that you got it on that you have a FLIR that is seeing it. You've got four eyeballs or from, well, actually more than that, that are seeing it, you know, if you would, or four pilots, or if you would, and they're all seeing the object, and they watch the chase, and they see this, and then you have it being picked up back when it moved away from left of the scene, and now you have it saying, well, wait a minute, it's at your cap point. And then you have, along the way, you've also got another aircraft that sees it going by the window. So, I mean, I'm not ready to say that somebody can take over a 60-mile area and have that amount of energy to create some sort of a holographic image, if you would, over a 60-mile area, because that would be tremendous power to be able to do that. And then in addition to that, we don't know that the object itself, which was maneuvering around some sort of an underwater object, and that the water itself, which was bubbling up, was that being done by whatever the big object was that was underwater, or was that being done by the Tic Tac that was above it? And so, yeah, you can play with sensory, I mean, you can play with radar data. You can have all kinds of, like, other kinds of things. But again, let's go into context here. We talk about this whole thing happening over a period of days, multiple times, and with everything from eyeballs to radar to other kinds of devices. And then doing that on a particular naval exercise when they're trying to do the testing that they are. Do I believe that there was some other kind of means for us to project that much energy over that many miles? I don't buy that. First off, we don't have anything like that, and I've not seen any indications from around the planet of anybody having that amount of energy to be able to create a hologram or something of that nature and to replicate that.
Well, I guess you'd have to go back and you know, have a look at the Starfire optical range, which was, and the whole Benowitz case and the plasma balls that that thing was creating. So, I mean, it's that was way back. This is 2020. That was back in the 80s. I mean, if you think we haven't advanced since then, and holograms don't take a huge amount of energy, yet burning up something in the atmosphere does, like a Star Wars weapon does. But to create an image doesn't take that much energy.
More to come with Rich, Gene, and Randall. You're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping.
Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.